is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
And here we are with you on a Monday evening. Welcome in. South Florida High School Sports Radio Show on the heels of the Hurricane Hotline. Great show this evening with Joe Zagacki. With you until 9 o'clock, and it is a jam-packed show, and will be for the rest of the this year and past recruiting season and into the off-season and the spring when we have a lot of college coaches nationally join us. So a lot going on. We'll close in on National Signing Day 2, which will be coming up February the 6th on that Wednesday. We'll see what happens there. A lot of interest South Florida-wise because both FIU and Miami have not, and I say not completed their classes, so certainly that's a lot of fun as well. We have kind of a mixed bag. We'll start it off in just a minute or so with Dakota Wilson from USF, who will fill us in on what this program has done. New offensive coordinator, very popular guy. This is a program that got off to a good start but did not finish well. We'll talk to Dakota in just a few minutes with that. But we do have all the new coaches, at least three of the five that have been announced so far for South Florida at 8:45. We'll talk to Coach Dave Dunn, head coach at Christopher Columbus, defending state 8A runner-up. So he comes in a good spot. We'll talk to him. Knew him very well before he left, and it's good to have him back in town. About 8:30 or so, new head coach at South Broward. That's Anthony Collins. We'll have him on as well, talk about the Bulldogs, what the future has. I know we have a huge Miami High alumni base, not just here but everywhere. And the Stingarees have a new head coach. We'll talk to Corey Smith about 8:20 or so. But as I mentioned just a minute or so ago, USF has a few new faces, and I'm sure they're adding new coaches along the way. The little revitalization. Remember, they started out 7-0. Everybody loved Charlie Strong. They finished 7-6. Which was kind of, a little bit of a downer in the area. But somebody who follows this thing year-round, he's right in the middle of it now because it's recruiting, especially. Dakota Wilson joins us. Dakota, thanks so much for taking the time. And, wow, this is really getting busy because now you add new coaches, new faces, and the recruiting picks up.
Absolutely, Larry. Thanks for having me on. Especially with the pickup, like you mentioned, of Kerwin Bell, I expect recruiting to be in an upswing with National Signing Day closing in on us.
You know, Dakota, you're a little bit younger, so you don't remember the impact that that Kerwin Bell made as a college quarterback at Florida, as a high school quarterback up at Lafayette and Mayo. This is a guy who, to me, has always been one of my favorites to talk with, whether he was at Ocala Trinity or Jacksonville University or wherever he's been. He's an upfront guy who teaches, has no ego, will do anything it takes to win. Talk about that, and because that's much needed at USF. It was kind of stagnant. You know, you made the big splash at the beginning with Strong and maybe a few others, and then it kind of leveled off, and they kind of put it into overdrive, or like an automatic pilot. That automatic pilot got him to 7-0, but it ultimately kind of hurt him towards the end of the year. Talk about getting some fresh faces around.
Yeah, I think it's really important. Like you mentioned, I think Bell brings kind of a revitalized energy around the program. People were able to see what he did at Valdosta State, an undefeated season, a D2 national title, and he had the number one scoring offense in all of Division II. I think that USF fans look at that, and that's a reason they get excited. And his offense is a lot of getting guys, those guys, speed guys from Florida, just getting them in space and letting them make plays.
Was the recruiting fall, because I know we talked to you, it seemed to be kind of a roller coaster. Great at the beginning where everybody, when they were rolling along, everybody wanted to be there, be at Raymond James for every game. But then when things started going downhill a little bit, but it's listen, we see it down here all the time. Everybody leaves the ship and they let it go. Did you see a lot of that maybe towards the end of the year where some of those recruits who were all on board, but maybe on board for the wrong reasons, kind of wavered?
Yeah, I think you did see a little of that when the wheels kind of came off there at the end of the season. I think recruiting kind of like tapered off, and I think that was a lot of that was also kind of the staff focusing on, okay, we need to get a game plan in for the program and not focus so much on the recruiting aspect. But I think that the Bulls are going to go to National Signing Day. I think we're going to have a strong finish.
And as we're speaking again with Dakota Wilson, USF Bulls, it's a great site and 247 Network, a lot of information. I'll tell you what, you guys have been really active, not just at USF, but throughout the network. I saw a lot of your guys up at the Under Armour game as well and working extremely hard. I know that's important where the network, comes in, and you guys have pretty much a pulse of the state of Florida, and that helps you guys. I mean, it helps everybody, but it helps USF at some of those exposure camps to actually have some kids who are looking at USF from a standpoint of a brand. The brand is still getting a lot stronger, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think, the more you get that brand out there and kids are able to see that and the involvement and everything, I think it only increases the strength of it.
You have an opportunity now with this next signing day. There's a lot of names being bannered, and especially with Coach Bell coming along, just recently kind of energized you a little bit, just sort of like with everybody coming, under Coach Diaz down here in Miami. You get kind of that little burst of energy. Any big name recruits may be on campus or, maybe get visited during this cycle, because this is a quick cycle. And I'm talking about for the class of 2019, where this team has an opportunity to bring somebody in, for in that February 6th date.
Absolutely. And I think the coaching staff kind of referenced to the media when they were asked this a couple weeks ago is they're not really looking for positional needs right now. It's more of difference makers. And I think a guy that can really come in and make a difference is a kid out of Menendez, Kenny Logan. He visited USF back in November, and I don't think he's had any other visits scheduled, so hopefully I think the Bulls are trying to lock him down, but I think that that's a kid who can really come in and make a pretty early impact and contribution in this career.
Yeah, and we take a look at difference makers like last year in Johnny Ford. Guys like that, if you interject that type of player every single year to this program, I mean, they have no reason not to be good. Talk about the first year, and we talked about Horn last year until he got hurt. I mean, the USF caught lightning in a bottle, I mean, so to speak. He's extremely quick. He did a lot of good things. So having him back, having somebody like Johnny Ford healthy and knowing what his assignment is, and you also had a pretty decent performance out of the kid out of Dr. Kropp down here at receiver, who actually at the end of the year was fairly reliable for you. Talk about that, because you could really build on those key guys.
Absolutely. And I think the thing you see with a lot of people at USF and a lot of guys that come through schools like USF and UCF is they're not always the guys like you say in Ford and Horn. They're not always the guys who have the measurables, but they're just quick and they're tough as nails. So I think that that's a kind of the mold of player you want to look for at this level. Not always look for like that size and length, and just like St. Felix too, that kid's gritty.
That's the kid, yeah.
He's really dependable receiver.
Hey, Randall St. Felix, and that is a guy who could play on Sundays. I mean, I tell that story because it's kind of unique that they had a camp. USF had a that satellite camp. I think about two, three years ago, and the entire staff was there, and Taggart at the time saw him play, and when they got back on the bus and left the area, they called and offered him, and I thought that was so brilliant, because here's a kid, what a factor. I mean, he has an opportunity this next year to really jump onto the radar nationally. What do you think about of a kid like that?
Oh, I think St. Felix, he's the Bulls' leading receiver, I believe, coming back. I think that he's poised for another breakout season next year, especially if he can keep improving on his routes and his hands. I definitely think he's going to be a difference maker in the AAC next year.
Any other, I know they put in a pretty good run for Malcolm Ray at the beginning. Obviously, when a Power 5 school comes in, and it's not just USF, any schools, you're tended to going to lose the battle only because of the fact that they fill you full of, hey, you'll never play for a national title, this or that. But talk about that. And also, in closing, talk about how good, I know that the USF fans don't like the UCF fans, but as just rivals, you've got to admire what they did during that stretch, not only for them, but to call attention to the entire conference. Talk about that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think any USFA would, like, admit that, but I do think it is a good thing for the G5 and to see a team make a run like that. I know the USF fans hate that it's their arch nemesis, UCF, but regardless, any team in the conference that can prop the conference up, I think that that's always good, good for football, and hopefully USF can make a similar run in these next coming years.
If they want to follow you, how are they going to do it? Because you're going to be a busy man, and all USF fans, we have our producer in the morning, Hollywood, they call it. Danny is his name, and a great guy, and assistant program director here. And big USF fan. When Bell was brought upon, I wrote him a little note and told him the better days are ahead. For fans like him, how do they get in touch with you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. On Twitter, you can always reach us at Bulls247 is the Twitter handle, or follow me personally at DakotaW247. And then always make sure you visit the site at Bulls247.com, and that's always for the latest info and everything.
Good stuff, man. You've been big time once again. We'll look forward to talking to you down the road as maybe National Signing Day approaches to get a better read on it. Thanks so much, Dakota. Have a great night.
Absolutely. You too, Larry. Thanks.
Good stuff. Dakota Wilson has USF covered in a major way. When we come back, big show tonight if you're a South Florida high school football fan. We have three of your new coaches that will all be in over the next 45 minutes, take you up till 9 o'clock. Coach Dave Dunn from Columbus will join us at 8:45. When we come back, Coach Corey Smith from Miami High and Coach Anthony Collins from South Broward.
Radio.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host Larry Bluestein on 560 WQAM.
Back with you again Monday night, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. Radio is the place to be. Larry Bluestein along with the Biff, as they call Matt Wilson. I think they used to call you Matt because your last name was Wilson, and you looked a little maybe like Biff, but you don't really. From Back to the Future, isn't that how it started?
Take that up with Channing Crowder, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I don't know. That's because you really don't look like anything like him, but I'll go with it. As we take you up until 9 o'clock, thanks so much for joining us tonight. A lot going on. SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. Please head over there because every day we work so hard to get at least two blogs out, 10 during a week, a lot of information. We have all the All-Star games. We'll have some more recruiting stuff, everything going on. As we told you, a couple of new coaches in the area this year. Happens every year. But over at Miami High, looking for a little bit of stability. So what do? You kind of call on one of your own to do it after they've been up and down. Remember, not this past year, but last year, they really should have gone to state and won it all. So you kind of give the fans something and you take it away, but definitely Corey Smith is back to give something back to his alma mater. He joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time and congratulations on coming home.
Thank you very much, Larry. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to go back on Flagler Street and coach to a place where I once called home, so I mean, just say I'm returning home now.
If you're a fan of Miami High, you got to kind of like be shaking your head a little bit over the last 3-4 years. Down in the dumps to, like I said, virtually could have won it all last year. And then this year kind of disbanded and just kind of struggled around. You know the athletes are there because you've played there. You're on the fringes of Booker T. You're on the fringes of Jackson. You're on the fringes of basically a lot of different areas. And it's a really good high school. You know, they've rebuilt it. They've added a lot of technology to it. So you see more of an interest coming back to that, to the Little Havana area. As a guy who's been around that program, what needs to be done to get it to a level where they stay, where they compete with Gables, where they compete with a Columbus, you know, on a weekly basis?
Stability, believing in the hiring. A lot of the old alumni, like coming back, showing their face, walking around. It's going to take more than a Corey Smith. It's going to be like a group effort. for us to get back where we want to be on a consistent basis. So I think with me coming in and I bring in my old high school coach, Coach Shell, that hangs from Booker T,
yeah,
and bringing back the some old guys from Miami High is really should be able to point us in the right direction.
You know, there was a time when Booker T wasn't around where Miami High pretty much kind of dominated when they wanted to, back in the Ricky Seeley era, back in the, you know, the those type of times, even when Sed was there for, you know, for the years. The talent is there. I mean, you see it. I mean, every year, even the kids that live in that zone, you could see that the talent's there. The only thing that has lacked at Miami High through the years is a youth football program that they could just directly feed from. What does that look like now?
Well, you know, I got strong ties with Gwen Cherry.
Right.
We reached out to Miami Youth, Powell, which have a few alumni from Miami High that have reached out to me. I mean, like I say, we got people in place ready to come back and help out and get the ball moving in the right direction. Once you have some stability in the program, everybody will come home.
Yeah. No, I believe that. Corey Smith joining us, new head coach at his alma mater, Miami High, one of the high-profile programs, a program that pretty much, as you know, if you walk the halls any time that has history that goes back into the 20s, great, one of the great programs of our time throughout the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and into the 60s. And I always say carried football if it wasn't for Miami High and what they did. And, you know, later on with schools like Edison, you know, coming around and Gables, the programs wouldn't be like they are now. They're kind of diluted because you have a lot of, you know, a lot of bigger schools on the outside. What is, you know, you take a look, Corey, because you see the success at schools like Northwestern and Carroll City at Central every year, and then New Orleans kind of spikes, Booker T, all the inner city schools. Miami High kind of has the best of both worlds. They're not really an inner city school, but you could always get a lot of the inner city kids to come.
Absolutely, man. I mean, we're in a great location. We don't have to fight with the big powerhouse schools for some of the kids. We're a school where kids want to get a chance to play where they feel they've been overlooked at some of the schools. Right now, we're not in a position to tell nobody no,
right,
don't come. So, I mean, whatever come, we're welcome them. We're going to coach them up. Yes, we have some talent still at Miami High. So it's just like you're making a soup.
Right.
You got the potatoes. You got the peas. You're just trying to make a nice meal on Flagler. That's all.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Also, too, you have off season, and I know you're huge into the off season. The kids got to be doing something. I mean, whether it's conditioning, playing basketball, wrestling, whatever they do in the off season, they need to be doing something. But also your skill kids that you would like to get on the 7-on-7 circuit, try to develop them. How important is that going to be in year one for you to get all your kids to go to these events and your linemen to go to some of these events to start taking part more so than they have?
Well, Coach, I want to say this first and foremost. I'm glad you said something about the 7-on-7. You know, I'm SFE for life. So it's a good thing that, you know, I'm in the 7-on-7 world. A couple of my kids will be a part of SFE. We're going to do a couple of local 7-on-7 tournaments with Miami High, and then we're going to do a lot of out-of-town tournaments. So we want to get the competitive edge and learn how to compete again. That's the key word on Flagler. We got to learn how to compete,
yep,
before we even talk about winning. And if we can learn how to compete, winning will come not too long after that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Coach Corey Smith joining us. Miami High's new coach. You also have, as you mentioned, calling on Coach Hanks, which is always great to do. But you also have a lot of alumni kind of out there, maybe not doing nothing, like Andre Johnson, maybe would want to come out and hang out and influence, because I know he likes doing that. He went to the playoff game last year. You have Roscoe Parrish. You have guys who used to go to Miami High that, you know, it's not like they're not tremendously busy these days. I know that a couple of Miami High, we talked to Coach Oscar, one of the best kickers the school ever had, yeah, and a great special teams guy. So there's a lot of interest and a lot of rejuvenation. Do you feel that as well? Have they contacted you and got a hold of you and wished you well?
Well, yes. I haven't talked to Dre or Roscoe, But I have talked to Wilkie Perez and the guys that I played with, and I would love for the Ben Hanks and everybody to come by and show their face and tell their story. You know, that's what it's about.
Yep.
Learning that it can, why not us? And like I say, it's we're not in a bad situation. We're in a rebuilding, but not a rebuilding at the same time.
Yeah.
You know,
I
expect a big thing from us this year. But yes, I have talked to Yoel Molina, one of my offensive linemen, to play back with me, George Hernandez, or a couple of guys from the past that inboxed me, Kevin Stewart that played, that inboxed me or called me, and they just want to be a part of something.
Good stuff.
My door is open to all of the paths of the future.
Good stuff. Corey, I appreciate you coming on. Congratulations. Nobody deserves it more than you. I know how hard you work. I always am in your corner. You're one of the good guys.
Absolutely.
And we'll continue to follow you. And we'll see you. Well, I think we'll see you Saturday.
Hey, Larry, thank you once again. I got to say Brett, SFE family, Ricky, Fosu, Samari. I have to get a shout-out to all my boys.
Nice job. And make sure the zone know that you're here, too.
Absolutely.
All right,
Absolutely.
Buddy. Thanks so
Thank
much.
You,
All right, good stuff. New head coach Corey Smith, Miami High. I think it's really exciting. You know, I mean, it gives these kids, especially at Miami High, as he said, there's been no stability. I mean, everybody came in and tried to do what they could do, quick fixes, and hasn't worked out too well. But when you're an alumni, you have a little bit more pride, and certainly that's important. As we move on, I told you tonight until 9 o'clock, about 8:45, Coach Dave Dunn, new head coach at Christopher Columbus, will join us. But now I'd like to bring into the show one of the new coaches, Broward County, South Broward High School. Real good guy, great football mind, grew up here, went to Pace. Coach Anthony Collins, who now takes over at South Broward. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you for bringing me on. I'm humbled, and I appreciate it.
It's a big opportunity to have your program. You've been everybody else's savior, guy who's really done some tremendous work with the kids, with programs over the last couple of years, and now you get your own show. Talk about that a little bit. And I know you've been wanting to coach for a long time. I mean, you played for a great coach over at Pace and Coach Zach. And talk about that as far as it's kind of about time that you had your own show and try to develop all the great things that people instilled in you.
Well, I'm just a hard worker. You know, I'm an ex-office lineman. And like you said, I played with Joe Zacchio. I want to say the glory days when we were either competing for a state title or actually winning in 03.
Mm-hmm.
And I just been putting my work in ever since I graduated from Florida A&M. And I've been bouncing around a couple places, not because I wanted to bounce around, but guys have been moved up or just resigned. You know, I was at Hollidale with Coach Jones when he had to run, and I was also there with Hippolyte when he tried to build, and he left and went over to Carroll Caesars, bigger and better things. And I just been around, learning from those guys and other guys like that, and just how to put a program together and build. So I'm just excited. All my work is paid off, and I'm just ready, to have my own show.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. And another thing too, knowing the area as well as I do, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago about the importance of really scouring that area and keeping kids home. The Dania kids who are basically yours, and most of the kids on the east side of Hollywood, the northeast Hollywood PAL, which always kids like Tavares Gooden came out of there, people like that. I mean, they've had some really good talent over the years. Talk about your game plan as far as the kids and how you're going to, treat the youth football around you as well.
Well, the first thing I addressed was I hired people from that area on my staff. So I'm a history teacher by profession, and I study history, and I like to throw around Snellenberger's turn, the state of Miami, to my coaching staff. And the state of South Broward for me is Damey, Hollywood Powell, and a little bit over there at the Hollidale,
right.
Carver Regis Park, Washington Park, or better known as Washington Park. So if I can control that area, and compete with the Chaminades and the MacArthur's for those kids, I think we'll be all right. The plan is to keep those kids home because being at South Broward, I've heard of numerous players that have great talent, are doing good things, were in that building, but they just couldn't keep them. So my job is to get the young guys in and find a way to keep them. And my way to keep them is just to make football fun. My dad taught me growing up that once football isn't fun, you shouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean? So once I can get in and increase the fun factor of football at South Broward, I think I'll be able to lock these kids down in that area, and we go out and you know, win some football games and just have some fun and bring some pride back to the community.
Yep, and that's important. It's a community-based school, so obviously kids who live in that area go to that school unless they go to private schools. Coach Anthony Collins joining us, first-year head coach at South Broward. Certainly, coach, a district that's competitive, but with some hard work, with some dedication, you could be right towards the top of that district as well and in the playoff picture. This is a program that 2 years ago had that type of talent. So you know you have the talent.
Right.
And if you could develop it, and I'm sure that, you know, Coach Toriano Morgan is up against the same thing. If you develop your talent at Dillard and you do it as much as you can and hold on to at least 85% of your kids, that's not a bad thing, because that's almost a compliment of what you guys are doing. But at the same time, you know, not even the best schools lose kids. But if you could do that and maintain and win, as you and I talked, winning kind of cures everything, doesn't it?
Right, winning cures everything. And I have a young core, and I'm fortunate enough to know, because I teach out there. I was coaching at Piper this past year, but I was teaching out there, so I was following the team. And a lot of the young guys took their lumps last year. And as a coach in this business, you know, you come in with young guys that took their lumps, sooner or later they're going to turn the corner.
Right.
So with the quarterback guy, I've been building a relationship with, his name is Khalid Wiggins. I really like the kid, very humble, but he shows passion at times, throws a good ball. So I'm an offensive-minded guy. I'm not saying I don't care about defense, but the three things that are important to me is having a quarterback, having an aggressive defense, and great special teams.
Yep.
So right now I got a quarterback, I got to build a defense up, and we're going to do it on special teams. So with that formula, I feel like we can be successful. You just got to go out and put the work in and coach these kids up, and we'll be competitive next year. And the thing about the district, I like, you know, everyone loved that district with Kansas City, Northwestern, Northern, and I'm leaving somebody out.
Central.
You know what I mean? And they broke that up. They broke that up. So, you know, with my district, with Everglades, with American, with Miramont, MacArthur, Cooper City, I feel like we can be one of those districts, you know, everybody wants to watch us play each other. So with competition brings scouts, and with bring scouts, kids go to school. So I feel like I fell into a good situation. A lot of people may have overlooked Broward over the years, but I'm here to, you know, start bringing some attention back to South Broward.
No doubt. Coach Anthony Collins joining us, new head coach at South Broward. Coach, also, between now and spring, what are plans? I mean, do you get involved a little bit in the 7-on-7 thing, getting your kids involved in that? And do you also get your linemen involved? Because that's your position, so obviously you love that.
Right. Well, I'm going to try to make sure I send most of my linemen down the road, but anytime there's any camps that involve linemen, I'll make sure I get my guys out there.
Right.
But as far as 7-on-7, I'm working with Cops up there at Creek.
Good guy.
Great guy. You know, we went to Florida A&M together, so there's some rattler ties. And me, him, and Coach McNair, we've been working. We actually had a little tournament. We went to a little upstart tournament Saturday at the Boys Club, and we did pretty well. You know, it was a good day. And, you know, just got to build. You know, and every time any opportunity comes that we can get work in, you know, I'm going to make sure I get my guys out there so we can get work in, because with the task at hand, we got to grind. You know what I mean? It's a lot. It's a lot that needs to take place for us to be able to reach our goals. And I feel like my past experience is just that one year at Hollandale with Hippolyte, we won about 4 games.
Yep.
We had Legend Moore and a couple other kids of note. And those kids are actually doing great right now. You know, a lot of the kids that we had at that school are some of the best kids in Dade County right now.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. That was the best, one of the best recruiting classes in the history, that 2016
right.
year. Oh, yeah. Believe me, Coach, I know those guys, and you've been around it, and we're pulling for you, and we'll be watching you, and we thank you so much for taking the time to come on with us this evening.
But thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Larry, and hopefully we'll be doing a lot of business together, and I'm just excited and ready to go.
Sounds good. Thanks so much. Coach Anthony Collins from South Broward. We still have one more new head coach in South Florida. When we come back, we'll introduce you, for those of you who weren't here about, I guess, 20 years ago, Coach Dave Dunn, head coach at Christopher Columbus, is next.
Radio.com.
Back with you to wrap things up for a Monday evening, South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Larry Bluestein and Matt Wilson, as we'll take you up until about 9 o'clock or so. We'll be hooking in just a minute or two with Coach Dave Dunn, who is the new head coach at Christopher Columbus, Columbus High School. And we'll thanks so much to Coach Corey Smith, the new head coach at Miami High, and also Coach Anthony Collins, who joined us from South Broward, the new head coach at South Broward, both of them with great plans for the future, and certainly excited about that as well. So we were talking last weekend with the All-Star Games that we had, and it was a tremendous All-Star Game. We had the Dade Broward game that we talked about today on our blog. Broward kind of brought the Army there. It's 35-0, but the public versus private on Saturday night was a really good game. Came down to the wire. A lot of kids got a chance for exposure, and that's what it's all about. So then we move on. 7-on-7s will start. National Signing Day 2. A lot of great things happening as far as football. But high school football, always paramount in South Florida. And one of the programs, as we told you, defending 8A state champions. Coach Chris Merritt did a tremendous job getting that team, that Columbus team, to the state championships. And now a new era begins, an era that we knew very well, extremely successful back in the day. And Coach Dave Dunn is back in town. And for those of you who don't know, a tremendous coach, tremendous football mind, and a really good guy. And we welcome him back. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Been a while, but certainly you've left a mark around the country, getting to the college level, which is, I always say, when you get a college coach to come back and coach high school football, the entire program changes in a major way. Talk about the experiences, the people you've worked with, and since you left here, as a very successful man when you left here.
You know, I've had some great experiences. You know, I got a chance to work with Howard Snellenberger at FAU and help him build the program when I was the running back coach and special teams coordinator. And then I was on to Catholic University in Washington, D.C. for about a decade as the head football coach, and then on to Marshall, and now I'm working my way back to South Florida.
Excited. You know the type of kid that you're going to come in and get. It's not like you're taking a job that you have no clue, because you know the administration, you know how Columbus runs. So you know that you're getting that type of student athlete. Maybe what you don't know are some of the talented kids. When you left, you would get a handful of the guys, but now it seems like Columbus is getting more combined with those other kids, and that's added up to success. Now, with your experiences and being able to evaluate kids at a younger age, this process gets going quickly for you. Have you talked to a lot of the kids that are coming back?
Yeah, you know, my first week there, I had a lot of individual meetings and meetings with the team, so I got to get to know those guys. And you're right, there's a lot of talent coming back for us next year. I'm really excited to work with those guys.
But from a standpoint of no, I mean, you're not like the public school guy that comes in and goes, you know, you have to get used to the quote unquote rules that, you know, that all schools live by. But at Columbus, it's been in place for decades and decades and decades, and you were a part of that. Talk about that, because I know that structure that's a lot of high school football coaches don't really, you know, sometimes they enjoy it, but at this school, it's a given. I mean, it's the kids already know what to do. They know how to act. They're not going to, make fools of themselves. That's all already a given. That's got to be a huge plus for you.
Yeah, there's definitely less issues with the players on our team. And a big part of it is the environment that's created in the classroom on a daily basis. It just makes the job as a football coach that much easier.
And I remember when you were here before and the objective was the same. I mean, you worked those kids hard, you taught them a lot, and that was your strength. You were a great teacher, a disciplinarian, but somebody who would kind of like take the foot off the gas once in a while to kind of like, and take in all the good stuff. I know you've changed in a lot of ways. 20 years does that for people, but talk about Dave Dunn now at 2019 as opposed to back in the late 90s.
Well, I got more gray hair and more wrinkles.
Yeah, we all do.
I just think I'm a better coach than the first time I had this job, and a big part of it was, working for some of the people that I worked for and being a college head coach. And the first time I was here, where I was really a defensive coach, I worked with some great people, at Harvard, and learned a lot about defense. And Mark Harriman is one of my mentors, our D coordinator there. After I left there, Coach Nellenberger hired me as a running back coach. So I kind of shifted over to offense. So I feel I'm a little bit more well-rounded of a coach than I was the first go around.
Yeah. And the very fact that you learn more about college and how they do things, and you look at, there are coaches, like a Mark Wandolo, who will run those type of coaches, practices that everybody comes and say, wow. And that's what you do. I mean, and I remember you did that before you left, and now look at all the college experience you have. That's got to be really a plus for college coaches to come to Columbus to see the way you guys work, because that, again, that takes a lot of heat off of them, because a lot of these kids already come in with that knowledge and with that structure and being around that environment. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is with the 20-hour rule in Division I college football, it just forces you to be efficient.
Right.
And you just learn how to streamline practice. And hopefully I can take some of those things I learned at FAU and Marshall and put them in place at Columbus, so we'll have a well-run, efficient practice.
As we're talking with Dave Dunn, new head coach at Christopher Columbus, Miami, defending 8A state champions. Marshall, there's a program there. Now, we started sending a lot of kids from South Florida to that area. Obviously, everybody knows Rakeem Cato, one of the kids that just is making his way in this cycle is a quarterback named Maurice Underwood, who is that type of player. South Florida, and you remember this, I mean, everybody does, even if you recruit here, it's like no other place when it comes to talent. You could have a whole entire inner city schools like we've had with Central and Carroll City and Booker T were all rated in the top 25 nationally, which is kind of unheard of from an inner city environment, because you look at now the Katies and the South Carroll, all these schools, Adelaide, all these powerhouses are all suburb schools. Talk about that, because being so consolidated with talent in the Miami area, it spreads to you guys. And you get those upper crust kids and you get those elite kids, where if you were at another environment, you may not. Talk about that.
It's an amazing experience to recruit South Florida. I had Dade County when I was at FAU, and a lot of people that aren't familiar with the area don't understand is that a lot of those high schools you mentioned are within blocks of each other. And, between those schools, you'd go watch, you can go watch three practices in about 45-minute period and only have to travel a few blocks and end up offering 10 players during that time.
Yeah, that makes things easy. So, obviously, from that standpoint, you're every week you're going to, and Columbus has stepped up the schedule over the last couple of years, which is awesome, and everybody loves to see, them playing the Northwesterns and the South Dades and mixing it up with the Chaminades and schools like that. But exciting, Coach. I just wanted to introduce you back to everybody who didn't remember you, and certainly thank you, for all the great stuff stuff that you did, and we're excited to once again watch you guys play, and look forward to the spring. And again, thanks so much for taking the time on a Monday night.
Thanks, Larry, and really appreciate all you do for South Florida football.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Dave Dunn, new head coach at Christopher Columbus, new head coach in speaking, but was there before, and I'll tell you, Columbus does not know how lucky they really are to have had Coach Merritt and Coach Dunn and that type of coach molding and leading these kids to the next level, and he certainly does it. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this evening. I enjoyed it. It flew by so quickly, Matt Wilson. Thanks to Dakota Wilson, USF. Thanks to Coach Corey Smith at Miami High. Coach Anthony Collins from South Broward. And Christopher Columbus's new head coach, Dave Dunn. We are back next week. Thanks so much. Have a tremendous week. And don't forget, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com.
Radio.com. Radio.com.